Good evening, I'm C. Kim Gabadeli and you're watching Stockwatch. Thank you so much for joining us. Tackling your questions in studio tonight, Greg Katzenellenbogen from Sanlam Private Wealth and Gebron Smith from NEFG Fund Management. Don't forget to send those questions through to us via SMS to 41392. You can also email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for making the time for us today. So we had that sharp sell-off yesterday in Asia, but today we're coming back, the JSE ending up about 0.5% led by rand hedges and diversified miners.
Oh, there was a nice recovery in the market today, given what had happened yesterday. But of course, you know, everyone panicked because the one of the yield curves inverted in the United States. Probably wasn't the most important yield curve, but people started to panic at the same time. Their talk about maybe the talks between China and the US are not going as well as people thought. But it was more a risk-on day today.
Okay. How worried should we be about what's going on with that yield curve?
Yeah, look, in the previous recessions and so forth, they were pretty spot on. But I think we're in a different place, and it's been managed quite correctly by the Fed. They took the foot off the pedal over the recent few months. We all know that. We had Yellen actually saying last night that there might be an interest rate cut, which was very surprising for me. But I think we'll be okay. If we look at growth on a global basis, first world countries are looking still okay. There was a shocking number from Germany coming out last week, if I remember correctly. And yeah, so a lot of macro influence over the last week. We had Brexit as well being delayed, and we had the parliament taking over there, etc. So a lot of macro noise. At the end of the day, earnings do the big share price movements over long-term periods.
Yeah, and it looks like that macro noise is not going to stop for a while. So we almost have to start looking at the fundamentals of each investment area.
Well, look, in the United States, you know, in my opinion, that global growth is close to bottoming and will probably bottom out in the next couple of months. And you will see the Chinese re-stimulate their economy. So I still think for the next 18 months, you have a very good environment for equities.
Another one that's been under the spotlight, Nasdaq. And of course that has a massive influence on our market. So what's your view on this listing in Amsterdam?
Well, look, it'll take about 25% of the market cap off the JSE of the Nasdaq share price, so it'll bring it down to a more manageable, because at the moment, you know, people who trade the Aussie futures, you're really trading Nasdaq because it has such a big influence on the... it doesn't really... you know, the company in Amsterdam, the benefit will really be that probably go into a lot of indices in Europe, and the price eventually will be made out of Amsterdam, like BHP and Anglo's are made out of London at the moment. So there'll be a lot more global trade in the Nasdaq share.
Okay. Your view on Nasdaq?
Yeah, hopefully it will unlock some of the value. We all know there's a huge discount to the underlying assets that they own, and hopefully that would fuel some closure of the different prices that we think they should be and where it's trading at the moment. So we think it's supposed to be a lot higher, and I think management does the same.
Yeah.
And this is a way of unlocking value for shareholders longer term.
Was it expected?
I think it was expected. Yeah. I've spoken about it quite some time ago. We know that the multi-choice listing was recently as well. That was like one of the others that they tried to unlock value with. And I think they were actually successful with that one so far. It's probably a little bit underpriced still where we think it should trade at, multi-choice itself. But still, the share price of Nasdaq has actually done very well over the last 3 months on the local board.
How underpriced do you think multi-choice is?
Yeah, well, it's around 120 or 115 at the moment. So we think it's probably should trade between 140 and 160 somewhere. So 15%.
Yeah.
Depends.
And some were disappointed with multi-choice's debut.
Well, a lot of offshore investors decided they didn't want to hold the multi-choice business. They gave South African investors an opportunity. You know, it bottomed in the early 90s before hitting 120, early 120s, come back a bit, but it's close around that point. But I also agree probably 160 is a fairer price for them. The real winner in the Naspers listing in Amsterdam is the South African tax authorities. They will get R1 billion of share transfer duty, so
which we need.
They're quite
right.
Happy about that.
Here's a question, Gerbrand. Panel view on Alexander Forbes' announcement today. They're selling the insurance business.
Yeah, look, there was a lot of restructuring over the last few months. We know that the CEO is gone and new ones that have been appointed, and almost the whole board has changed. Difficult one. We're not holders of Alexander Forbes at the moment. We know they went through a very difficult patch.
Yeah.
You know, unemployment's a difficult situation where they are now, etc. It's not expensive where they are now. It pays a very nice dividend yield. If that would unlock value, they would probably know more than I do. I don't follow the share that closely. A while back, they sold some other insurance business, if I'm correct as well, or consultancy business that was huge as well. So they're unlocking some value, trying to unlock value for shareholders. Not an expensive share, but it's part of SA Inc. at the moment.
Yeah. And there's just been so many shenanigans at executive and board level, right?
Where?
At Alex Forbes.
Well, there have been a lot of changes, and that, as Gerbrand said, you know, you have new management in place. But I can't help feeling that all these things are happening at Forbes, probably dressing up the company maybe for a merger with another company or maybe a sale.
Yeah, but when they start to sell off things and clean up.
That's a possibility.
Okay. Franco wants to know, what is the short-term outlook for financial stocks like FirstRand?
Well, look, you know, financials are always good companies to have, but I think you have to look at the background of the South African economy at the moment. The South African economy is not in a very good space, and generally when the consumer is also under pressure, very difficult for banks to outperform, and you've seen that in the share prices recently. Mm. Of all the major, the big four banks have come down quite sharply, and so while I think it's always part of a core portfolio at the moment, I'd probably be underweight banks.
Yeah. I mean, some people have looked at banks and said, well, the valuations are pretty attractive at this point, given what we've seen over the past, but we're not sure how low the economy is going to go, how far interest rates are going to rise, because the Reserve Bank seems to be on a hiking trail at this point.
Yeah, look, I think short-term wise, they're probably a bit oversold, but they've been running in a band for quite some time now, from the 2016 or 2015's December, etc. So you had FirstRand going from 70 to 60 and back and up and down a few times. So I think that band is still in place. So you can probably purchase it. There's lots of negativity now around South Africa at the moment. We have Moody's in the country. Everybody worries about
cost of capital. Yeah, we're trying to behave.
The banks didn't bring out nice numbers.
Yeah.
Most of them reported recently.
Yeah.
I think the only one that hasn't is Capitec. Most of them, the other four big banks reported, all of them. So all of them, I think, were lower than expected on earnings if you look 6 months back or a year back what people expected. So South Africa was certainly struggling. I think Greg mentioned it now as well. So, but it's quality banks on a global context. And I mean, we got Nedbank at an 8 PE and a 6.5 or 6 dividend yield. So I think it might be right for a bit of a bounce.
Okay.
The governor might opt to start cutting interest rates one of these days because he got a growth mandate as well. We're hoping for that one. At the moment, we're not seeing that in the near future.
All right, some questions on email. One from Sitle, who says, can I get the panel's view on Aspen listing on A2X?
So, well, you know, it's really just another exchange they're listing on. Shouldn't make any difference at all. It just gives people another exchange to trade Aspen on, whether it's the JSE or A2X, but I can't see that it has any influence on the share price.
And Master Drilling, a question on that. Please comment on acquisition by Master Drilling in the last financial year of Atlantis Group and Vergament, and seems like diversification by location and industry, good for future or hedging?
Yeah, look, it depends on what your view on those. We had Steinhoff who did a lot of acquisitions a while back. We had Aspen who's fallen into that same trap and the balance sheet got blown up a little bit. If you look at MasterDraw, I think they're doing the right things. They do report in dollar terms for us for quite some time now. It's a 6P company. They brought out a healthy order book going forward. They got the best technology in their space on a global front. They upped their debt to equity exposure on the balance sheet from, I think, about 2% to about 16%. So the cash flow is good enough. I think it's okay. I think these acquisitions are okay, and I think it's a little small gem out there. People don't like small caps at the moment, so you can buy this thing and it's going to double in the next year. If you have a view of 10 or 15 years, buy it and hold it in your bottom drawer. But small caps are not going to be in favor, I think, for quite some time.
Yeah, and your sense on small caps and small and medium caps at the moment?
I think given what's happened around the world, people still favor large cap stocks. As you know, earnings are what drive share prices. And globally, people are worried that earnings might have peaked in the United States. You can see what's happened in South Africa. Earnings have been under pressure from a lot of, and particularly smaller caps. It's not helped by the fact that our economy is in such dire straits, as well as the fact that we can't guarantee power. So large caps, I would certainly advocate.
All right. Here's a quick one before we go to break from Higo, who says, is it time to buy Aspen or Coronation at these low levels?
I think both, but with Aspen, there's a risk to it as well. So everybody's scared of the balance sheet, so we know that. So you need the nutritional business to get sold, and you need the New Zealand authorities and regulators to give their stamp and get the deal out of the way, then the balance sheet looks better. Then you're probably going to make lots of money out of Aspen if that deals go through and the debt comes under control. But I think people also threw out the baby with the bathwater. I never expected Aspen to be at 90 rand a share. It used to be one of the darlings on the JSE.
Yeah, certainly.
So we still back him. We think the management team are still in play there. It might take some time, and you probably have lower price expectations for the share price longer term. And which one was the other one?
Coronation, but can we come to that after the break? Because that also has a big factor when it comes to what we expect markets to do going forward. So I'll get your view on that. We've got lots of questions, resources, questions around MTN. We've dealt with Master Drilling and Aspen, so we'll get to those in a moment. We're going to take a short break. Keep sending through your questions via SMS to 41392 or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. Do stay with us. Welcome back. Let's take a quick look at international markets now and how they're performing, starting in the United States. So those markets are in the green at the moment. Of course, as you know, investors have been spooked by those sharp falls that we saw in U.S. Bond yields and an inversion of the U.S. Treasury yield curve, which is obviously widely seen as an indicator of an economic recession. But obviously lots of data due later in the week, including non-farm payrolls. That should give us a direction of the state of that economy. Let's go over to Europe. That market returning to a bit of calm. Today we saw a steadier day as that benchmark bond yields helped to ease nerves that we had seen. But the UK Parliament expected to conduct a series of votes on Wednesday, that's tomorrow. You remember on Monday night, which was last night, the British Parliament taking a vote to take over control of the Brexit process from the Prime Minister, Theresa May. So it's going to be an interesting week yet again, watching what's going on with Brexit, which has been a long-going affair. Still with me in studio, Greg Katzenellenbergen from Sanlam Private Wealth and Chevron Smith from NEFG Fund Management. I can't keep up with how many votes we've had on Brexit and what they're voting on at any point in time. For those companies that are in South Africa, that South African shareholders and investors are exposed to, that have a stake or are invested in the UK, what do they do? Should they bother watching what on earth is going on?
Well, look, a hard Brexit is bad for the companies, and a soft Brexit is good for the companies. Obviously, a lot of companies would prefer no Brexit, but it's unlikely that they will get that. But it looks like this can will be kicked down the road for a while, so they'll be forced to ask for more time while they sort it out. But for me, it's, you know, I watch it now because it's wonderful reality television.
Right.
It's like, never mind desperate housewives, it's desperate politicians. You
know? Absolutely. Yeah. And they're always entertaining to watch. All right, let's look at some questions. Corney says platinum. So he's got two questions based on two precious metals. The one is on platinum. So he says, between Anglo-Plat, Impala and Northam, which is the lowest cost and highest quality producer?
Well, I think Anglo-Plat is certainly the highest quality, not 100% in terms of, but I would think that their costs are a lot lower than certainly Impala, because Impala is still dealing with some issues that they hope to resolve, certainly in Rustenburg. Mm-hmm. But Anglo-Plat's share price has certainly indicated it's the, you know, it's the first choice amongst fund managers.
Okay, agree.
Yeah, we prefer Anglo-Plat, and then I think longer term we actually like Northam as well. They've got some exciting projects coming online.
Okay, let's look at the gold question. So the second part of Corney's question. He says Basel III classifies gold as a non-risk tier one asset for banks, making gold money again. Is this perhaps why China have increased the gold reserves in the last couple of years? What's your take on gold with respect to Basel III?
Yeah, look, it's difficult to say on the Chinese thing, on the Basel III. It is probably a less risky asset. It's a hard commodity out there. We prefer not to have commodities in our funds. We think the leverage play is the better one to have. So if you do own the correct gold company in the global context, or you own the correct platinum miner, or iron ore, whatever, we think that's the better way of investing. There's cash flow, there's dividends, and there's a leverage opportunity. So I think if you can get that call right, you make lots more money than holding the physical gold long-term-wise. But on the other side, gold companies didn't do well in South Africa, and gold in rand terms were probably the winner over the last 10 to 20 years in South Africa. Okay. So there's a place for both.
I think it's extremely important that people have some exposure to gold. It's critically important, I believe. The reason that the Chinese and the Russians and many other central banks are increasing their holdings of gold is not because it's money, but they're extremely worried about the US dollar. And they do expect that the US dollar. Now, the dollar is a counter-cyclical currency, so when growth is doing well in the world, then you don't want to be, the dollar will. When the growth is low, people will go into the US dollar, but as growth picks up, they will sell the US dollar. Growth is expected to pick up. US dollar is expected to get a lot weaker over the next 12 months, and therefore you should see a much better improvement in the gold price. The best way for you can either, if you don't want to take the risk of gold mines, as you know, gold mining is becoming less and less of an important player in South Africa. So if you want exposure, you could just buy the ETF, buy the physical gold, and but of course you then the exchange rate has a very big influence. It's my view that over time the rand must weaken considerably over that, because South Africa, we can't afford to have the currency at its current levels, and therefore being invested in gold. But it always gives you a hedge against things going wrong with the global economy.
And very quickly, a question from Wesley, also staying with resources, wants to know what your choices would be between AngloGold, Implats or Sibanye.
Okay, well, I have AngloGold and I have Implats, so
okay.
I like those two, and I'm not going to choose.
What's wrong with Sibanye?
No, look, Sibanye, the thing is with the Lonmin deal, you know, so that still has to be consummated. The good thing in Sibanye's favor is that the whole palladium-platinum complex, you know, palladium has hit $1,600. Platinum seems to be moving up, so it's helping them from that. But now, if you've got to take on another company like that, they still have a tremendous amount of debt.
Yeah.
So I'd rather go for the companies that have less debt.
Gabond, AngloGold, Implats or Sibanye?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I'll probably choose the two that's not on the AngloGold and Northern. But I'm a bit concerned on Impala. The numbers were very good, but they did sell some of the stock that they had the previous year on a build-up. So I think the numbers are going to look a bit worse in the future than most people expect. Sibanye, as we said, is a bit of a debt problem.
Mm.
They sold some of their future streams on the commodities and on the US operations. But I think they've done the deals at the correct prices a while back.
Yeah.
And it might be the best leverage play out of those three that you're talking about.
I promise to go back to the question on Coronation, your view on Coronation.
Yeah. Look, it's a market call. If you think the market's probably reached the bottom locally, you're positive after 5 years of almost no growth on the real returns on the JSE, it might come back. If you look at what Coro's funds has been doing over the last 3 to 4 months, they certainly had lots of positive alpha again. For the first time in 2 years, they've been beating most of their peers over the last 4 months. They'll probably have one bad number still in coming out the next time. They're sitting at a 9.5 dividend yield at the moment. They'll probably cut that a little bit, about 10 to 15%. Earnings probably weaker by that. But then I think you probably reach the bottom. And yeah, at 40 rand a share, I think it's certainly a bargain long-term wise.
All right, let's get to stock picks. I'll start with you,
Jim. So my stock pick is Glencore. So over the past 12 months, in that resource space, BHP has gone up 55%. Anglo's up nearly 38% and Glencore has risen 6%. Now, there are a lot of reasons for that. Is that Glencore has been battling authorities in the DRC, has some queries from the US Department of Justice. But the outlook for Glencore is that other companies' production has been slowing because they haven't wanted to put significant amount of capex in, so that has hardened commodity prices. Also, you're looking at a deficit in copper, which is very big for Glencore. Plus, Glencore are also going to reduce the amount of coal they sell, so that will push up the price of coal. So I do expect, and this is not something that will play out over a month or so, but I think over the next 12 months that you should get a good return. Glencore will play catch-up with BHP. And
how much of that demand rests on what we see with global economic
growth? You see, as I say, I believe that global growth will soon bottom, and that the Chinese have no option but to
stimulate
the economy, and you get some sort of reflation in that, and it will be. The good thing about these resource companies, it's not the bad old days where they just spend money and spend on their debt.
Yeah.
They've reduced their debt considerably. They have very strong balance sheets, and they're generating a ton of cash.
Okay,
Hebert, you stop it. I'm going to go for Sasol. I think I picked it the previous time as well. I still think at 440 rand a share, it still offers a lot of value. In the normal oil market, you're probably looking at about 500 rand a share for the normal business. They're doing the US cracker, ethane cracker, which we think will add to their profits from now, 2020. In 2022, we think it should deliver about $1.3 billion of EBITDA for them.
Okay.
So that should add another about 200 rand to the share price of Sasol. So you're looking at something close to 700 rand, and the share price are trading at 440. If that goes through as well, and they get the ethane cracker run correctly, etc., you're probably going to look at the company being not an oil company anymore, but more a chemical company. And you'll probably see another 20 to 30% upside if they do get valued as a chemical company and not as an oil company.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much to both of you for your time today. My guests, Greg Katzenellenbergen from Sanlam Private Wealth and Chevron Smith, who is with NEFG Fund Management. We're back with more Stock Watch tomorrow. Thank you for joining us. Good night. Let's get to stock picks. I'll start with you.
So my stock pick is Glencore. So over the past 12 months, in that resource space, BHP has gone up 55%, Anglo's up nearly 38%, and Glencore has risen 6%. Now, there are a lot of reasons for that, is that Glencore has been battling authorities in the DRC, has some queries from the US Department of Justice. But the outlook for Glencore is that other companies' production has been slowing because they haven't wanted to put significant amount of capex in, so that has hardened commodity prices. Also, you're looking at a deficit in copper, which is very big for Glencore. Plus, Glencore are also going to reduce the amount of coal they sell, so that will push up the price of coal. So I do expect, and this is not something that will play out over a month or so, but I think over the next 12 months that you should get a good return. Glencore will play catch up with BHP. And
how much of that demand rests on what we see with global economic
growth? Well, you see, as I say, I believe that global growth will soon bottom, and that the Chinese have no option but to stimulate the economy, and you get some sort of reflation in that, and it will be. The good thing about these resource companies, it's not the bad old days where they just spent money and spent on their debt. Yeah. They've reduced their debt considerably. They have very strong balance sheets, and they're generating a ton of cash.
Okay,
Hevant, you'll stop there. I'm going to go for Sasol. I think I picked it the previous time as well. I still think at 440 a share, it still offers a lot of value. In the normal oil market, you're probably looking at about 500 a share for the normal business. They're doing the U.S. cracker, ethane cracker, which we think will add to their profits from now, 2020. And in 2022, we think it should deliver about $1.3 billion of EBITDA for them.
Okay.
So that should add another about 200 Rand to the share price of Sasol. So you're looking at something close to 700 Rand, and the share price are trading at 440. If that goes through as well, and they get the ethane cracker run correctly, etc., you're probably going to look at the company being not an oil company anymore, but more a chemical company. And you'll probably see another 20 to 30% upside if they do get valued as a chemical company and not as an oil company.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much to both of you for your time today. My guests, Greg Katzenellenbergen from Sanlam Private Wealth and Chevron Smith, who is with NEFG Fund Management. We're back with more Stock Watch tomorrow. Thank you for joining us. Good night.